tonight is the danger of apostasy. The danger of apostasy. And so what I would like to talk about are the three dangers. Obviously, there's many, but three of the dangers that I saw in my Bible study here that I hope will help us. Sometimes we don't understand what apostasy is, but plain and simple English, it's really just turning or rebelling, right? But the turning away from truth. Who can tell me who is the only one ever quoted as saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? Jesus, right? And so when we speak of the truth, humanly speaking, or as a Christian or a religious individual, when we look at the truth, right, and we say, well, the Bible, well, I'm giving it away, but what do we think is the truth for us while we're here living on earth? You say, what, Trump? I don't know what y'all said. Our truth. Oh, okay, our truth. Okay, girl, we're going to be praying for you. Amen. But what do we think as Christians, right? What's the truth to follow? What is it? The Word, right? The Word of God. But as you and I read in Genesis 1:1, and then we go to John 1:1, we see who is the truth, right? He's been with him in the beginning, and he is God, but we also understand he is the truth, right? He's the Word of God. So, in plain English, it's when you turn away from the truth, which we believe is the Word of God, the Bible, and when you turn away from Jesus, because he is the truth, then you go to this realm of apostasy. And all it is, you're rejecting the truth. And when you and I reject the truth, guess what happens to us? We get rejected by God. We're called reprobates, okay? It talks about it in Romans and in Jeremiah. But that's what a reprobate is. It's the rejected, okay? So I want us to understand, we're trying to avoid apostasy. Now, I wasn't thinking of doing this, but I need to. If you're saved, can you lose your salvation, yes or no? We see all through the Bible, there's teachings and doctrines, right? Once saved, always saved. I know people don't like that, but it's the Bible. So if you don't like it, take it up to God. The reality of it is, Jesus' sacrifice of dying on the cross was enough for God to accept for the washing away of our sins. So when we accepted Jesus' work on Calvary, we are saying in essence, hey, I'm trusting in you and the work you did, right? You lived a righteous life. You defeated death. You resurrected. I'm trusting you with my soul that when I die, you're going to save me. Because that's what it says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm trusting that. That's it. I'm not trusting church. I'm not trusting my standards. I'm not trusting the pastor. I'm not trusting the prayer. I'm not trusting, please don't get offended, the Bible. I'm trusting you. You're the one that died on the cross, not the Bible. Please don't get offended. Not your Father, God. He's our Father. Not the Holy Spirit, but you, Jesus. You died. Amen? It's very important we understand this, because sometimes when we read Scripture, we get confused and we're looking at the Scripture and we think, wait, how can we lose our salvation? That's what it says there. And no, it's not what it says there, okay? That's why I'm going to talk to us a little bit about that. But here's the truth. How many of us are living in heaven right now? Raise your hand. No? No one's living in heaven right now? No one has their glorified body? No? So that means we're sinners. We're still sinners? Okay. Guess what apostasy hits? Because remember I said it's the turning away, the rejecting of what? Truth. In this occasion, it would be the Bible. And this occasion, it would be who? Jesus. Well, we need Jesus' salvation, right? But here's the thing, right? You can't lose your salvation, but while you're here on earth, can you drift away from the truth? Yes. And you can turn to apostasy. By the way, the Bible talks about that. People, there will be a great turning away. Okay? With that said, I want us to understand Let's go ahead and read Hebrews 10:26. 10:26, the Bible says this. For if we sin... Oh, wait, pause right there real quick. What does the previous verse say? Do we remember that? Not forsaking the what? So is it talking about salvation? But even the book of Hebrews is not talking about salvation. It's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the answer, not the goats in the Old Testament that were sacrificed. Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient, okay? He's talking to a religious group of people, the Jewish people, the Hebrews. The Hebrews were tempted and persuaded and pressured to go back to those ritualistic things in Judaism to sacrifice goats for their sin. And here, the writer, the author of Hebrews is telling them, you no longer have to do that. Jesus is enough. Jesus is sufficient. He is a sacrifice that God has accepted. Follow me. That's what Hebrews is about. Because he's talking to a group of religious people that know the truth. But now what are they doing? They're knowingly, consciously rejecting the truth and going back to their what? Religion. They're going back to their what? Ritualistic ways of worshiping God. That's what's happening here. That's why he's saying, don't forsake the assembling, not the gathering, the assembling. We're connected. We're not just a gathered group of stuff or people. We're here to do a service and connect. Amen? We're to assemble. That's required for church. Amen? This is why he's talking like this. Then he goes on in verse 26. For if we sin, what? On purpose. After that, we have received the knowledge of the what? Of the truth. In our day and age, it would be Jesus. In our day and age, it would be the truth that we know about the Bible. Okay? There remaineth no more what? For. And this is where people get, I don't know why, but they get a little held up on it. Can you lose your salvation? Yes or no? If you reject Jesus Christ, are you saved? Yes or no? If you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are you saved? There remaineth no more sacrifice for your sins. He's saying, look, you reject the truth, you reject Jesus, guess what? There's no more sacrifice. There's no other sacrifice. You receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for the sins. If we sin willfully after that, we have received the knowledge of the truth. If I'm going to sin willfully, in other words, I am consciously rejecting the truth of the Word of God. I am rejecting the answer that God has given me on how to be saved. I am rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am knowingly, right, consciously doing that. When I do that, the Bible's saying, there's no more sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrifice. The only acceptable sacrifice that God is willing to accept for our sins. And if you and if I reject, if we willfully sin by rejecting this truth that we have received, guess what? There's no more sacrifice. There's no other sacrifice. Guess where you're going? Hell. You say, Pastor, well, I'm saved. Now we're talking. Because if you choose to willfully believe in your preconceived ideas of what you've been taught by daddy, mommy, by the pastor of old, by sermon notes, or by the school system, or by the education system, or by family, instead of the truth, and you receive the truth, but you look at the truth with lenses that are darkened, instead of looking at it with the open mind, God, please help wipe away my preconceived ideas. Let me just look at the truth. What is it the truth tells me? When you willfully reject that, then guess what? You're turning away. You wonder why God probably doesn't answer your prayers. Well, listen, you stop praying. We know the truth. The Bible tells us, right? To pray what? Huh? Without ceasing. Don't stop. But you know what we do? God, I need a new car, God. God, I need a new J-O-B-B-B. I don't, can't spell, amen. A new job. No, keep praying. What about you already have the job? Be thankful and be praying. Hey, why don't you pray for other people besides yourself? This is what happens. We start rejecting the truth. We stop praying. We stop reading our Bibles. We stop doing the things we should do. Guess what we're going to turn to? We're going to start rejecting the truth, and we're going to start turning to apostasy. We're going to reject not just Jesus, but the truth of the Word of God. We're living in a generation where many people know about Jesus. They hear about Jesus, the preaching of Jesus, every week. But you know, they're slowly drifting away from God. Like they've never met him before. Oh man, we know how to sing the songs. We know how to memorize the verses. We know all of this. But man, we're so smack dab in the middle of apostasy and we don't even see it. The Bible talks about a great turning away in the last times. Some people grow up in church. Some people hear the gospel, even memorize it. Some people know the truth. Some people sing the songs. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people quote verses. Yet somewhere along the line, they started turning back to the world. I don't want to go back to the world. I don't. The world has nothing for me. Guess what? They don't have anything for you either. You know what we think the world is? The outward appearance. How we look. That's not the world. My friend, can I tell you what the world is? How's your spirit? The inner man's what God sees. How's your heart tonight? I don't want to go back to that. Amen, Pastor. I'll say amen. Amen. The book of Hebrews gives a serious warning. It's saying, don't turn back from God. It's telling us God has shown us the truth. And who's the truth? Jesus. Who's the way? Jesus. Who's the life? Jesus. It's not an outward appearance. Jesus, if you looked at him, I mean, he had a donkey, not a horse, when he came in. Amen. On Palm Sunday. He didn't have a place to lay his head. What would we call him nowadays? Without a home, right? Homeless. That was Jesus. How's your heart? I want us to understand, folks, Jesus is the sacrifice for sins. If we reject, if I reject Jesus, there's nowhere else to go. Whether for salvation or while I'm living here on earth. We are supposed to follow the teachings of who? Pastor Rivera? Jesus. We're supposed to follow the teachings of who? My Sunday school teacher? Jesus. Here's the first point I'd like to share with you. If you're still with me, say amen. Apostasy begins with drifting. And that's not driving a vehicle, by the way, or rice burners. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hey, does it say, how shall we escape if we attack so great salvation? Is that what it's saying? If we what? Neglect. You know what that word is? What's neglect? What happens to your home if you neglect it? What happens? It falls apart. What do you think is going to happen to your life spiritually if you neglect? Spiritually, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to be strong? You're going to fall apart, my friend. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Most people don't wake up one morning and say, you know what? I reject God completely. It doesn't happen that way. You know how apostasy usually starts? Slow. You know how it begins? With neglect. You know how it begins? Being spiritually lazy. Amen. You know how it begins? Drifting from God. The writer of Hebrews did not say, again, if we attack salvation. He said, if we neglect so great a salvation. You know your marriage doesn't collapse overnight? Do you know that your marriage does not collapse overnight? It takes time. It's over time. It's spiritual. Amen. Pastor, are you mad? No, it's just amazing. Amen. The scripture. I want us to avoid apostasy. As your pastor, I'm reading this passage and I'm thinking,
I don't want people from Victory Baptist Church to be the type of people that are turning away from God and saying, God, I give up on you. God didn't give up on you. Why should we give up on God? Yes, it's hard work. Amen? Men, man up. Be the man of the house. Let me say that again and let me repeat it. Men, man up and be the man of the house. Amen? Amen. All the men should be like, yeah, amen, praise the Lord. Yeah, because that's what men do. Quit you like men. Doesn't mean give up. It means stand up. Be courageous, right? That's what a man does. And I want us to understand with apostasy, we need to avoid that. We need to keep that away from our house, keep it away from our children. If anything, your home should be a place where your children know, hey, we're going to talk about God. We're going to pray about God. We're going to read the Bible. Amen. Can I tell you? That's our responsibility. Amen. Amen. I want us to see that a relationship with God, it doesn't break down or collapse overnight either. People just stop reading the Bible. That's the truth. People stop doing what's right. We stop praying to God. We stop attending church. Church no longer is important to us. I noticed that. I get here when we get here. If we get here. Pastor, what do you mean? Listen, we need a... Why is it important to be in church, folks? Come on. It's in the same passage here. For assembling, to connect. It's a commandment. Now you say, Pastor, I'm going to have vacation. Hey, go your vacation, please. I'm not going to say, that's not forsaking the assembling. You understand that? Pastor, I have to go do this. Go do it. If you're in the hospital, please, and you're the ER, stay there, please, get better. Don't come to church, amen. I don't want you to pass out and die here, amen. Don't do that, obviously. No, please. I don't need my kid to be more traumatized, amen, than he already is. My point that I'm trying to make is this. I understand when there are things that come up or situations that come up and you can't come to church. Man, that's not what the Bible's saying in Hebrews 10. What is forsaking? What is that forsaking? It's a practice. It's a habit of what? It's making it common or a habit of not going to, right? Forsaking is like of not doing something, of just you stop and you no longer do it. It's the habit of that. So please, don't forsake Bible reading. Don't forsake coming to church. Don't forsake your prayer life, amen? Don't forsake these things. Now, I don't know why I got on that, but my point that I'm trying to make is this. We drift. We need to guard our minds. The thing is that the world will pull us away little by little. Matthew 24:12. Do you have that, brother? Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall what? Shall what? We no longer going to love the church. Why? Because of sin in our life. I'm no longer going to love going to church. Why? Because of sin in my life. I'm no longer going to be excited to read the Bible. Why? Because of sin in my life. I'm no longer going to be the type of father or the type of husband I need to be. Why? Because the sin in my life. Amen? That's the truth. Now, I know some of you are ladies, so I'm just saying this is how we need to apply the Bible, what it says and what it's talking about. You should apply it to you individually, not to anyone else. Because I want us to realize that we need to guard our walk with God. We need to guard our prayer with God. We need to be faithful with God. Keep your eye. I don't know. I think this would probably be the best thing because I know we live in a modern age where social media and a lot of that is a distraction. I understand that it's part of our life. But why can't we just keep the Bible open? And maybe you just never know, like on Denny's. What is it, Denny's or Dairy Queen? Dairy Queen, they do that? They have the Bible open. And every time I go there, guess what I'm doing? I'm looking at the Bible and seeing the scriptures and what was circled. Why don't we just do that at home instead of keeping them closed? Do something. I just want us to understand that if we do things and we no longer have a love for the things of God, what's happening is that the world is pulling us slowly and slowly away from God. Apostasy begins with drifting. If you're with me, say amen. People that don't come to church anymore, it didn't start with just overnight. You know where it happened? They stopped coming to church one time. That's how it happens. People that no longer read their Bible, it just didn't happen overnight. You know how it happened? They stopped reading the Bible once. Create these habits in you. If you know prayer is important because you're talking to God, and if you know that Bible reading is important, listen, make that a priority. Have a love for those things. Don't neglect the prayer life, because then in your life, you'll be spiritually silent and you're wondering and you're trying to make up these excuses why your life is the way it is. You don't have to, man. You don't have to. One compromise becomes your lifestyle. Decide. I'm going to tell you this. If I decided to make the standards in my life from the sermons of Pastor Roy Carrizales and other men that I know of, I'm not disrespecting these pastors. I want you to understand, I love my home pastor. But if I were to be the type of man that every standard that he had and I made it to myself, for my family and for myself, do you understand that I am not living for God in that sense? I'm living after what? I'm living after a man's standard. By the way, it's his preference. What? I need to read the Bible for who? As the leader of my home, I need to find out the standards that God wants in my life, because Roy Carrizales is married to Diana Carrizales and has 4 children, and they have their own life. Amen. His standards are not Bible. They might be biblical for him. You say, Pastor, well, what are you talking about? Here's the thing. If I decided to make my standards from men or someone's sermon notes instead of the Bible, then before long, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to move farther away from who? From God. And we don't see it. But that's what happens. Be careful. You're going to be drifting away from God a lot further than you ever imagined. And where's going to be your spiritual power then? You're not going to have it. Oh, I can't listen to that. It's fine. Listen to the Bible. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Oh, wait. No, Hebrews 2, 3? No. It talks about how shall we escape. Go to Hebrews. Yeah, we read it. Yeah. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the who? The preacher? The man of God? The dad? The mom? The Sunday school teacher? The Lord. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. See, here's the truth, right? I think sometimes, and please don't think I'm trying to disrespect the office of a pastor. I will never do that. I know there's double honor to that. But please don't mistake that with an ungodly authority that pastor or that position should have. It doesn't have that in your life. Okay? Ladies, do you know? I know y'all probably don't like this, but do you know who is the leader in your life? It's in the Bible. That's good. After that, what does Jesus say is the leader of your life, humanly speaking? Ladies, it's not your dad. Come on. It's in the Bible. No, it's your husband. It's your husband. Let me repeat that again. It's your husband. It's your husband. I didn't make this up, and it's in the New Testament. Here's the thing. We make our own rules or our own standards sometimes, or our own boundaries. And if we realize what the Bible says and we're open to it, our relationships would be a lot better. It just would. Instead of putting man's thought into it. You follow me? I remember when I read that, I'm like, I always used to think, I'm going to tell you, because I grew up like that, and we're like, hey, you know, we respect the pastor. And again, I never saw a relationship between my mom and my dad. So I didn't know how that looked like, right? But so we would always respect the pastor because my mama taught me that, amen? But then I read it one day in the Bible. I'm like reading the Bible. I'm like, what? Women are supposed to listen to their husbands? By the way, you're supposed to listen to your husbands. And then guess what hit me? Ladies, here's the sad thing, what I would see in my home church. And I don't think we have ladies like this here, okay? I don't think y'all, I hope not. I hope that you do, you know, talk with your husbands and y'all talk about, you know, things in the home and y'all talk it out, but and make decisions, right? But I would see ladies go to my pastor, and it was like an important thing in their life. And my pastor, I never understood this. They had such high respect and regard for him. And then they go to their husbands, and it was like, eh. Until I saw him say, well, what did your husband say? You know, there's pastors that they don't talk like that. You know, there's pastors, they love the fact that they can talk down to a woman. That's what that is, by the way. That's a male chauvinist pig. It's a person that likes control. Now, I'm not talking about all pastors, okay? There's some good ones. But the bad ones, they're pricks. Sorry. I mean, I don't know how you're a man of God and you're going to treat a woman like that. Even Jesus took care of his mom when he was on the cross. He didn't talk down to her, did he? No. But I remember my pastor telling that lady, he's like, well, what did your husband say? And that lady, she's like, well, it doesn't matter. I came to you. You're the man of God. And then he took her to this scripture. I was just glad I was there, you know? He took her to the scripture about ladies are supposed to obey the husbands. Or not obey. How does it go? You know which one I'm talking about, that verse? It's in the New Testament. Ladies, wives, what is it? Submit, but it's not that one. It's supposed to be, I guess it is. It is wives, submit to your husbands. I'm sorry. But no, the way he worded it, I was like, man. The whole point is the Bible talks about the husband, the man is supposed to have a love for Christ, and then the wife is supposed to love the husband, something like that. He threw out scripture, and I'm like, wow. And the wife, she was so mad because what he ended up telling her is, go see what your husband says, ma'am. And then if y'all still want to talk about it, just come and ask me. She didn't want to. I mean, they're still there, though, but I don't know. They're probably growing. I don't know. Many people have this misconception that I can come to you as a pastor, go to you, and tell your wife. No, that's not my position. You know what? Many pastors think that it is. That's not my rug of authority. As a pastor, I'm just supposed to be the shepherd pointing you to Jesus. That's it. I'm not supposed to go to your house and say, hey, that woman of yours, she need to get right with God. That's not my job. That's not even my position. Guess what, husbands? Man up. You're the leader of the house. Amen? That's what that is. And that's how my pastor explained it. And I appreciated that he used scripture because now I don't have to say, my pastor said. No, I saw it in the scripture when he was showing. And then I went over there because it was at his house. It was in his office. And yeah, I overheard it because Jeremiah and I, we would always run around the office. And then we were like, listen, oh, what's that amount of so-and-so doing here? We're nosy. And, and then we would see the pastor and he was giving the scripture. And then later after she left, I said, Pastor, I didn't know the Bible commanded that it didn't give you the commandment to tell somebody's wife what to do. He's like, no, it doesn't. I'm glad people that know scripture. I'm glad that people don't have these preconceived ideas. Here's the second point. Apostasy begins, second point. Apostasy rejects the only sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. Who is the knowledge of the truth? Jesus. Who saves you? Okay. If you reject Jesus for salvation, or if you reject Jesus, I know this is not about that, but if you reject Jesus to be the Lord of your life, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Guess what? There's no other option. Jesus is the answer. For salvation, Jesus is the answer for helping you in life. He's the Lord of your life. Many of us have Jesus as a Savior, but we don't have Jesus as the Lord of our life. We don't submit to Him the way we should. Hebrews 10:12. We have that one. But this man, who's this man? Who are we talking about? Jesus. Yep, Jesus. After he had offered one, how many? One. How many? One sacrifice for sins. Here you go. I love this word. Forever. He only had to die one time. So that way our sins could be washed away forever. They could be paid for. It says this, sat down on the right hand of who? Of God. So when someone knowingly rejects Jesus after hearing the truth, okay, this is what we're talking about, there's nowhere else to turn. Jesus is the answer. You follow me? There's no other sacrifice. He is the one. There's no membership that can save you. There is no baptism that can save you. There's no good works that can save you. There's no amount of standards that can save you. There's no religion that can save you. Guess what? Only Jesus saves. It's like rejecting the only parachute on a failing airplane. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? There's no backup parachute. Jesus is it. There's no backup plan. Jesus is the answer. Stop trusting in religion. Stop trusting in morality. Stop trusting in feelings. Stop trusting in family heritage. Stop trusting in outward appearance. Your salvation and how you live your Christian life rest fully in Jesus Christ. Many of us, we're saved, but our Christian life is shot. Spiritually, many of us are on empty. We're breaking down. We're falling apart. Many of us, we just go through the motions, right? There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, we know the songs. But do you know the song? That's the difference. Do you know the song? Not many of us know the verses. We memorize scripture. But do you know the truth? That's where the power is. The power is in knowing, in the application of the Word of God. That's where it is. Do you know the truth? Can I tell you who it is? It's Jesus. You're like, Pastor, you're just very vague. No, no, get to know Him, man. It's a relationship. Stop scrolling on whatever it is, your social media, or stop going on the things that are going to distract us. My friends, apostasy rejects the only sacrifice of sin. Here, I'll give you a modern day illustration. Can you imagine a young man is hiking up a mountain? As he's hiking up the mountain, he turns on his social media and he's streaming live. And he's trying to get a good view or a good shot for his viewers. And as he gets closer to the mountain, all of a sudden the ground underneath him, just gives way and he falls. But there's a little ledge there that he's holding on to, and he's holding on to that edge. And he's saying, help! Help me! Somebody help me! And then here comes the rescuers to help him. And he's just right there holding on with one hand, and there's a little ledge where he has his feet there, right? Still alive. And they throw a rope because it's right there. Right underneath them, they throw a rope and they say, grab on, it's the only way out. And instead of grabbing the rope, I don't have it with me, he goes on like we do nowadays, right? We do that Doug thing, and turns on live streaming, and he's just trying to get a good shot and to let the viewers know that he's okay, going on the comments, fighting with people, comments, whatever, and he's just letting them know that, hey, everything's okay, because he's trying to protect his self-image. As he's holding on for dear life, instead of grabbing the rope to get out, he grabbed his phone. What does that tell you? Yes, we are, aren't we not? Spiritually, We are. Instead of grabbing Jesus, our life spiritually here, the Christian life, and what our kids are going to benefit from, the heritage we're going to pass on to them, instead of grabbing what's going to get us out, you know what we're grabbing onto? The junk. We're like that streamer that went on a hike. It sounds so ridiculous, but that's how we live. And we try to portray ourselves. That's why I don't worry about outward appearance. You know what I started realizing, right? It's the heart. Out of the abundance of the mouth speaketh. So when someone says something and they do something else, what does that show you? That their words don't align with their... It is what it is. Jesus is the truth, my friend. Don't be like this. Many people know the truth about Jesus, but instead of surrendering to him, they grab onto the world. They keep scrolling. They keep debating. They keep mocking. They keep delaying obedience. They keep distracting themselves while ignoring the only one that can save them. Not just from salvation, but from unnecessary affliction in this life. Now, some of you might say, well, Pastor, are you perfect? No, but I got it. I embraced it. Man, thank God I understand I'm saved by grace. And can I tell you something? The only one that's ever been there for me, like no other person, has been Jesus. Here's the third point. I hope this helps. Third point. True believers must continue forward by faith. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just, the who? This word is justified, you know, just as we, if we never sinned, those of us that have been justified by the blood of the Lamb, right? Those of us that are saved. Now the just shall live by action? No. They shall live by sight? Oh, I got it. They shall live by circumstances? No. Let me ask you something. How many of you would give me a pass if I had trouble, an addiction or whatever, because I never had a dad in my life? Raise your hand. Be honest. You would give me a pass. No? Man, you guys are not human. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. Nobody would give me a pass? Okay. Yeah, you didn't though. But okay, you give me a pass? Okay. One person would give me a pass. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Don't get offended. I don't get offended. Here you go. Here's the truth though. If I were to use the fact that I lacked a father in my life, that's why I'm a drug addict. I'm not a drug addict. I'm using this, you know, as a story. Thank you, Ms. Shante. But if I were to use that, why I don't love my wife because I never had a dad. Why I don't provide for my family, I never had a dad. Why I don't raise kids? Because I've never had a dad. Why I'm not a pastor? Because I never had a dad. Why I quit? Because I never had a dad. Let's be honest. That could only work for so long. Come on, I'm a grown man, 46, bald-headed. I'm probably like going to like the rear part of my life now, and I'm cool. I'm looking forward to you know grandbabies and things like that. If God allows me to live, I'm gonna teach them the Bible, and I'm gonna. Do what my father-in-law saw him do, you know, tell him scripture and stuff like that and help them out, be there. But here's the truth. God's not going to judge me because of my dad. Is he? When I stand before God, I'm going to say, God, it was my dad. Why I quit on those people at Victory Baptist? I don't plan on doing that, okay? But why I quit on those people at Victory Baptist Church is because of my dad. You think my God is going to look at me and say, Zeke, you're justified. It's because of your dad. Or he's going to say, nah, man up, right? No, I'm judging you for your works. What did you do for me? Amen. I can't use that crutch, right? I can't use that. It's because my mom's in a wheelchair. That's why I can't read my Bible now. I just don't have time. Oh, why I didn't stay married? Because my wife was a redhead. Well, she's not here now, so. Because my wife was a redhead. I just didn't stay married because she was a redhead. You think God's going to look at me and say, that's a good point. It's not my fault, Brother Mitchell, right? It's not my fault. She's a redhead. I have no hair. Okay? No, guys. God is going to look at us and he's going to say, did you live by faith? Did you trust me, Zeke? Or did you live by sight? Zeke, did you man up and trust that the direction that you were going and I was taking you was actually going to go somewhere to the destination of my will? Or did you just continuously blame your circumstances? I have a question for you. Is that how you're living your life? I want us to avoid apostasy. Because true believers, guess what we must do? We must continue forward by faith. It says, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no what? Pleasure in him. He will not have pleasure in me if I draw back. He will not have pleasure in you if you draw back. And here's what I'm trying to get us to understand tonight. There were men in the Bible that struggled. Peter struggled. He denied Christ how many times? There were men like Thomas that doubted Jesus ever resurrected, right? Were they perfect? They were part of his 12. David committed sin. So, I want you to understand that the Christian life is not about perfection, my friends. Right? Those of us that are saved, we're not in heaven yet. We have to live the Christian life. It's not about perfection. It is about perseverance. You keep moving forward. But Pastor, I messed up. It's okay. Get back up. Move forward. Oh, that's it. I'm going to quit on God. It's hard. No, no, no. It's okay. Get back up. Keep going forward. Trust him. Trust him. Believe me. Trust me when I tell you this. He knows you're not perfect. Because that's what the Christian life is neat. I'm thankful to God for that because Elijah became discouraged, a great man. But you know what he did not do? You know what Peter did not do? You know what David did not do, even though they sinned and all that? They did not abandon God. Are you going to abandon God? That's what apostasy is. A true believer keeps going back to who? God. That's a true believer. Thank God it's not about perfection. Amen? You have a pastor here that's not perfect. And I'm going to mess up and I'm going to do things I probably shouldn't do. I'm going to say the wrong things and I apologize right now if I have or I will. But the goal is not to give up. It's not to turn your back on God. It's not to go the wrong route of apostasy and reject the truth. We know the truth. We have the truth. What, he's good enough for us to save my soul, but he's not good enough to live for? I'm never going to turn my back on God. Well, I say never, but I believe in God. Amen? I believe in God, and I want us to understand, don't quit on God because of failure. We're going to fail. We're going to fail. Don't let bitterness harden your heart. Please. Forgiveness is the cure for that. Stay tender toward the conviction. If God is using scripture and he's using the messenger to give you conviction, be tender to it. Don't harden your heart. Don't be like Pharaoh. What I'm saying is keep moving forward by faith. Living by faith, right? That's the only way to do this. That's the only way to do this. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if that makes sense. Well, let me give you an illustration, and I'll be done. It's 7 o'clock. How many of you have seen little babies or toddlers try to walk? Amen? When they're in their little diapers. Some of them, sometimes they don't, you know. But, you know, most of the time, they're trying to walk, right? Let me ask you something. Do they just, all of a sudden, from one day to another, learn how to walk? What happens? They have to crawl. And then they have to try to get up, stand, hold themselves up, right? Try to find something sturdy. And what do they try to do? Take a little step, and then what happens? They fall. But they don't refuse to walk. You get it? Eventually, you're going to learn to walk. Eventually, you're not going to just learn to walk. You're going to learn to run. You follow me? And circumstances are going to happen in your life. You're going to say, well, praise the Lord. I don't know, I can't be happy about what happened to little Ezra, but I'm thankful to God that it wasn't worse. So I am thankful. I'm not thankful that he got hurt. It was traumatic. Seeing all that blood in my daughters, and I appreciate Aunt Sarah, amen. I appreciate Sarah and Jeremiah being there helping my kids. But they thought he was going to die, my understanding. Because we've never seen anything like that. If you saw the gash, you could see his skull. They put a gauze there. When we got to the hospital, I'm like, oh, my. I'm going to tell you, I turned pale, man, like Casper the ghost, man. I was like, whoa. And then my wife, I saw her. She started getting weak on the knees. I'm like, oh, let me get strong and act like it. I'm like, it's okay, babe. I wasn't happy for that. But it doesn't mean I was going to quit. Right? I still need to do my part as a man, right? I needed to be there and show some strength, even though I didn't know what was going on. For my son, he was already traumatized. For my daughters, they were already traumatized. For my wife, they needed to know, hey, there's going to be an anchor in this home. My job is to be there, be the strength of the family, the protector, right? At the end of the day, though, I want to tell you this. You can always find, when you fail, you can always find these moments of gratitude. You follow me? I didn't like the fact that I didn't have a dad in my life. It did traumatize me in a different way, mentally and morally, low self-esteem, things like that. But I'm thankful to God now, knowing what I know now about him and seeing how God has taken my life, where he's taken it. I could say, yeah, thank you, God, for not letting me live a life that was anti-God, that was out of your will. So what am I trying to say? You're going to fail. But as Christians, as believers, we must move forward by faith. We must live by faith. Don't live by sight. Don't live by circumstance. Man, Pastor, but it's hard. I know. It's tough, man. It's tough. But it's okay. That's when we get going. That toughness is what we need. We need to become the type of people that are resilient. Amen? I promise you, God will bless your resilience of not quitting. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Don't quit on God because of failure, folks.